Title: Clearing Break Tails with Clean Routing Intermediate. Alright, let's get into one of those drum and bass problems that everybody hears, but not everybody knows how to fix cleanly. You've got a break. It's got attitude, it's got history, it's got that instant jungle energy, and then the tails ruin it. Cymbals ring out into everything, room noise builds up, low mid decay stacks from hit to hit, and suddenly your groove feels smeared. The snare loses definition, your kick doesn't punch as hard, and the bass has to fight for space. In this lesson, you're going to build a repeatable workflow in Ableton Live that keeps the break alive, but puts the tail under control. Not by brutally fading the whole thing, but by splitting the break into two layers, a body layer for punch and transients and a tail layer for wash, room, and cymbal decay. Then we'll shape and duck the tail so it breathes around your main hits. By the end, you'll have a little break control rack you can reuse in any project, with macros like tail length, tail brightness, tail duck, sub cleanup, and punch versus wash. Let's set it up. Step 0. Prep the break properly. Grab a classic break. Amen, think, hot pants, whatever you like. Drop it onto an audio track. Warp it. If you want tight edits and gridlocked energy, beats mode is usually the move. If you're trying to preserve the natural tone and it's not being mangled, Complex Pro can work too, just remember it's heavier on CPU. Now right-click the clip and choose slice to new MIDI track. Use a transient slicing preset. What you're really doing here is turning the break into a drum rack, where each hit becomes its own pad. Quick teacher note, slicing first is a big deal, because you're no longer stuck treating the whole break like one big blob. Each hit has its own playback and envelope behavior, and that makes tail control way more musical. Now we build clean routing. Name the drum rack track break SRC. Group it. Select the track and hit CMD or Control G, and name the group break bus. Inside this system, we're going to split processing into body and tail. The fastest, cleanest way for this lesson is an audio effect rack directly on break SRC. So on the break SRC track, drop an audio effect rack. Open the chain list. Create two chains. Name the first one body. Name the second one tail. This is where the magic starts, because you're basically creating parallel processing lanes. One lane is focused on impact, the other is focused on controlling the messy stuff. Now let's build the body chain. On body, first add EQ8. Put a high pass filter on it. Somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz is a solid starting range. The exact number depends on the break and the key of your track. But the point is, don't let random break low end compete with your actual kick and sub. If the break feels boxy or cardboard, why, do a small dip in the low mids, around 250 to 450 Hz, just a couple dB. Don't destroy it, just clear space. Next, a drum bus. Set drive somewhere around 3 to 8. Add a little crunch, like 5 to 15%. Boom is usually not what we want for modern DNB if you're trying to keep the sub clean, so feel free to keep boom low or off. Then use the transients control in drum bus. Push it up, maybe plus 5 to plus 20. Listen carefully here, this is where you make the break speak. Optional move. If you want a bit more density, add saturator after drum bus. Soft sine or analog clip works great. Drive it lightly, like 1 to 4 dB, and match the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Goal of the body chain: it stays stable and punchy. This is the front of your break. Now let's build the tail chain, the one that's going to stop your groove from turning into fog. On tail, start with EQ8 again. High pass it higher than the body. Try 180 to 300 Hz. This is a huge one. The low end of tails is sneaky, it's not a clean bass note, it's like a rumble cloud that stacks up and eats headroom and clarity. If the tail is hissy, add a high shelf cut above 10 kHz, maybe 2 to 6 dB down. You're not trying to make it dull, you're trying to stop it from becoming constant white noise. Next device. Gate. This is the main tail cleaner. Set your threshold starting around minus 30 dB, then adjust while looping a busy part of the break. Attack. Fast. 1 to 5 milliseconds. Hold. Around 15 to 40 milliseconds. Release. Around 60 to 180 milliseconds. This is going to feel like your tail length knob. Shorter is tighter and more modern steppy. Longer is more rolling, more yomly, more roomy. Now here's an intermediate realism trick. Don't always slam the floor to full silence. If you feel like the gate is making the break feel unnatural, set the gate floor to something like minus 18 dB. Now you're reducing ambience instead of erasing it. You keep glue, but lose the smear. Optional on tail. Add a compressor after the gate, gently. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 ms, release 80 to 200 ms, and just take off 1 to 3 dB. This is not about smashing. It's about making the wash more consistent. Now, before we start ducking things, a quick coach note on consistency. Different slices have different noise floors. Some hits are loud and clean. Some are quiet but noisy. Some are basically cymbal hash. So sometimes the gate will hunt, meaning it opens and closes unpredictably. If that happens, try one of two fixes. Option 1. Put a utility before the gate on the tail chain and turn the gain down 3 to 6 dB. That way the gate isn't reacting to tiny peaks and random junk. Option 2. Do the opposite. Put a tiny bit of compression before the gate 2 to 1. Fastish attack, medium release so the tail level is more uniform and the gate threshold becomes easier to dial. Alright, now we make it groove. Sidechain ducking on the tail. This is the part that makes the break feel huge but never masks your kick and snare. Create a new MIDI track and name it K/S-Trig, meaning kick snare trigger. Load a drum rack with two very short clicky samples, or even make triggers with operator. The sound doesn't matter because you're not using it for audio. You're using it as a control signal. Program a basic pattern. Kick trigger on 1 and 3, snare trigger on 2 and 4, or match your actual main snare placement. Now set this track's monitor to in, and mute it, or pull its volume all the way down. The important part is it still sends signal for sidechain. Now go back to the tail chain. Add compressor if you don't already have one there. Turn on sidechain. Set the sidechain input to K/S-Trig. Starting settings. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Then lower the threshold until you're getting around 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. When the kick and snare hit, listen to what you just achieved. The tail ducks out of the way exactly when the punch happens, so you can keep the break loud and energetic, but your snare still cracks clean and your kick still hits. Quick timing tip, for steppy DNB, you'll usually want a faster release so it pops back quickly. For rolling jungle patterns, a slightly longer release can feel more like it's breathing with the groove. Now let's address the one slice is the offender problem. Sometimes it's not the whole break, it's one open hat slice, or one crashy hit, or one little chunk of noise that just hangs forever. In the sliced drum rack, find that pad. Open Simpler. Go to the amplitude envelope and reduce the release. Try 30 to 120 milliseconds. That alone often fixes the why is this cymbal living forever issue. If it's still too bright, use a low-pass filter in Simpler. 12 or 24 dB slope. Set the cutoff around 6 to 12 kHz. And if you want it to respond dynamically, use a small negative envelope amount so the tail gets darker as it fades. And if it's mostly noise right at the end, shorten the sample end slightly. Tiny moves. You're doing surgery here, not re-editing the whole break. Now let's make this fast to use in real sessions. Macros. Go to the audio effect rack macros and map the key parameters. For the body side, map a macro called body HB to your body EQ high pass frequency, maybe 90 to 160 HE. Map punch to drum bus transients and drive. One knob that makes it smack harder. For the tail side, map tail length to the gate release, around 60 to 200 milliseconds. Map tail threshold to the gate threshold. Map tail duck to the sidechain compressor threshold, so one knob controls how much the tail gets pushed down on hits. Map tail bright to the high shelf in the tail EQ, from neutral to maybe minus 6 dB. Optional but very useful. Put a utility on the tail chain and map wash width to utility width. Something like 70 to 130% is a good range. And map output trim to a utility gain somewhere so you can avoid clipping as you blend body and tail. And yes, watch gain staging here. Two chains add up. Don't just yank the track fader down and call it a day trim inside the rack, so your compressors and gates behave predictably. One more important coach check. Phase and feel between body and tail. Because this is basically parallel processing, sometimes the combined sound can feel thinner or weirdly softened. A quick test. Toggle the tail off, then back on. If adding the tail makes the impact feel smaller, it might not be classic sub phase cancellation since we high-pass the tail, but it can be an attack timing mismatch. Fix. Use track delay to nudge the tail slightly later, just a few samples or a tiny millisecond amount, so the body reads first and the tail follows behind it. That little alignment can make the whole thing feel more intentional. Now, arrangement mindset. This is where this workflow becomes production, not just sound design. In an intro, let the tails breathe. Longer release, maybe 140 to 200 ms. Slightly wider, maybe a touch brighter. In the drop, tighten it up. Release more like 60 to 120 ms. More ducking, and possibly darker EQ on the tail so your bass has a clean lane. Try a mid-drop switch by automating tail threshold up slightly for extra tightness. It's like the break steps forward without actually changing the pattern. And here's a pro move: on the first bar of every 4-bar phrase, shorten the tail slightly, then let it relax on bar 4. That tiny call and response makes the loop feel like it's evolving even if the MIDI is the same. If you want to go further, there are a few advanced variations that are absolutely worth knowing. One is frequency-dependent tail control. Duplicate the tail chain into two, tail high and tail mid. Tail high, high pass around 2 to 4 kHz. This is mostly cymbal sheen and fizz. Let it be a bit longer so you keep energy. Tail mid, band pass roughly 300 Hz to 4 kHz. This is the boxy room wash. Gate it shorter and duck it harder so it doesn't smear the groove. Another advanced move: instead of letting the gate decide when to open based on audio level, you can sidechain the gate itself with your trigger pattern. That means the gate opens because you tell it to. Super controlled, especially on busy edits where tails vary wildly. And one more creative one: tail only reverb. Put reverb only on the tail chain, then duck that reverb with the same kick and snare trigger. You get size in the gaps, but the hits stay aggressive. Alright, mini practice exercise. Pick a break, slice it to drum rack. Build the body and tail rack split exactly like we did. Create an 8-bar loop. Bars 1 to 4, steady 2-step. Bars 5 to 8, rearrange slices. Add ghost hits, make it roll a bit. Now automate tail length, shorter on bar 1, longer on bar 4, and repeat. Automate tail duck, stronger in bars 1 and 2, lighter in bars 3 and 4. Then resample the loop to audio and listen back. Ask yourself 3 questions. Does the snare hit clean every time? Is there more space for bass, especially in that 150 to 300 Hz zone? And most importantly, does the break still feel alive, or did you overgate it into stiffness? Before we wrap, quick list of mistakes to avoid. This audio version is shortened for playback.